Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Rolling to his left is Fields. Has time. Pressure coming from Epinesa. Now going to tuck it and run. And he's decked from behind. Ball is out. And the Bills have the football for the second straight week. Joey Bosa forces a fumble. And this time, the Bills are all over it.
And the defense did some really good things. It was good to see them really disciplined, playing hard, playing a relentless style of defense, taking the ball away, and being able to close the game out.
Fields under center, fakes the handoff, going with an end around, and the Bills have it sniffed out. Christian Benford dives deep into the backfield and drops him. Fields back to pass, and he's sacked. Joey Bosa forces another fumble. The Jets hop on the football, but Joey Bosa has made his presence felt today. Back-to-back plays, getting hits on Fields, and his second forced fumble of the game.
They understand what type of defense they can be. They went out there and they played extremely well. That's the standard that we're looking from them, and they understand that. But very proud of how those guys attacked the entire week of practice, stepped up to the occasion. Now in a short week, we gotta do the same thing again on Thursday.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Football Monday on WGR, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. What's next is Miami. Make it interesting one of these years. Somebody, can anybody just sort of show up to play against this team in the division, or is that just not going to ever happen? I mean, wow. That was, yesterday was like an NBA game where it's early in the season and I don't know who's good anymore, but I don't want to make the show sound so old. Just use like sort of the Lakers and Clippers realm of teams. But one team is just like way better. And you kind of know. Hockey isn't even like this. You kind of know sitting down to watch that game. If you're a fan of the lesser team, like you have almost no chance. Almost like wrestling. This I did not think of this game as that.
No,
before
it didn't
happened.
Feel that way going in because of the, you know, comparisons style-wise that, you know, the challenges that the Jets presented, at least that we thought they presented from a running the ball standpoint, a physicality standpoint. But yeah, they were just no match. I mean, the Bills just right from the start of this game dominated it. They needed some help from the Jets in the form of penalties to get their offense on track early, but it didn't matter because the Jets were not going to move the ball. They just could not do anything on offense in this game. It reminded me of the way the Patriots used to look when they'd come in here to play the Bills. Not all the time, but occasionally just sort of felt like, did they even try? Did they even use their best stuff? I mean, what do we do? Just the Bills just showed up and sort of, yeah, workmanlike, I don't know, workmanlike slash dominant is what yesterday felt like. Punch in, get some points. They can't touch you. Punch out. Go home.
I mentioned New England in that way yesterday, but I don't even remember many games like that here, at least, where you kind of you're hoping that you can beat them, but it's just like not even close. This game yesterday, if I'm a Jets fan at this game, I'm ready to leave in an hour. Like it's just I'm punting at 20-0. Or no, the 51-yard field goal for 20-3. Mm-hmm. Then I'm punting on another similar kind of situation, and like my guys just don't want to be here. Like this isn't really sports. This isn't like we're trying to win. This is what, building a culture and all that stuff. Like just
keep it close.
Yeah, I mean there were lots of Bills games like that.
Mm-hmm.
But man, what a demoralizing result for New York yesterday to like not even belong on the same field. I mean, that doesn't happen. That hasn't happened between these two teams in New York in a long time. But it was like that yesterday. And to maybe compound it, you're hoping after last week that your quarterback might be something. You know, you've got a young, talented, athletic player, and he had a very good game against the Steelers, even though they lost, and then, like, not at all in this game, and he gets hurt. Just, I mean, an all-time bad day for the Jets. I mean, not to make it about them, but, you know, as far as the Bills go, we weren't sure about their defense, and I want to kind of still not be all the way sure.
Sure.
But it seemed possible that they could get gashed here by a team that plays similar to Baltimore. Like, I thought it was possible that would happen yesterday, and it was, you know, 180 degrees from
that. Yeah, that's why I don't really go too hard at it, you know, Jets are going to Jets type of perspective here, because it's easy to default to that. But they did look like, I don't know, vastly different. They looked good last week is what they looked, especially, I think, on offense. I mean, they gave up, I think, 34 points to Pittsburgh in that loss, but they moved the ball. The quarterback looked more than competent, looked like maybe ready to take a step, but that's been Fields' career. Like, he is a tease. He will give you good weeks. The talent is always there. The athlete is evident when you see him move around on the field, and it's just inconsistent. And I'm most encouraged by the fact that it did not seem like the Jets could really block the Bills. After the job they did keeping Fields relatively clean against Pittsburgh and T.J. Watt, you know, talking about their new tackles, right? The first-round pick from last year, Fashino, and Membo from this year's draft, doing a great job on T.J. Watt, highest-graded offensive lineman, according to PFF, through week one. And they just could not handle the Bills up front. Joey Bosa looked, again, like a force to be reckoned with here. In, you know, it wasn't like there was gobs of snaps. The Jets didn't do much on offense, but when they did, the Bills were winning up front. And I want to take that away. I don't think that these tackles the Jets have suddenly are terrible. I think those are good players. I think the Bills just did a very good job up front, and, you know, went to school on what they needed to learn from how badly they got outplayed up front, especially at the tackle position on defense last week against Baltimore. You know, we knew the Jets weren't Baltimore, but again, style-wise, you Baltimore light. Athletic running quarterback, good, very good to great running back, and what looks like a promising young offensive line, at least at the tackle positions, and they just could not hold up at all in this game. So, you know, credit to the Bills, but it was not quite a first round knockout, but it was pretty close to that. I mean, they were the better team. They looked like the better team almost immediately, and they were.
And so, two games up on the Jets, two games up on the Chiefs as well here in the early season. That's fun. New England at 1-1, Miami at 0-2, and Miami is in on Thursday night. Am I the only person that, when thinking about Miami coming in here now, thought of Ken Hitchcock with the Flyers when the 06-07 season started and the Sabres were just sort of rolling, I mean, to put it mildly, early in the season, and the Flyers, who the Sabres had exposed for looking old and past their good days the year before in the playoffs, showed up, and Buffalo won that game, I think, 10-1.
And everybody got fired.
And Hitchcock was... You know, he got the ride home, I guess, but that was it. He coached, I had to qualify it with Flyers, because he coached for a long time after that.
Yeah, he did.
In the league, and probably did a lot more winning
than we
have.
I did not myself think of that, but I like it as a comparison.
McDaniel had better, they'd better be on point. Like, 0-2, they just look so, I saw the end of that game after the Bills game was over here as postgame started, and just like, McDaniel was always looking down at the field and no good energy at all with Miami. Mm-hmm. They could have won, but New England gets them, so that's next. The line went from 8.5 to 12.5 today. Man. If it's even stopped.
Right.
Like, nobody is going to be on Miami here, which is a little bit, you know, unsettling in
and
of itself.
Sure, can be, yeah.
I mean, you talked about the Jets not being able to block the Bills when they had the ball. Also, I mean, that went both ways. Really, you have a game, an unusual game for Allen where he doesn't produce a touchdown either on his, you know, legs or with a touchdown pass. But Cook, I forgot to look. I mean, what did he even average yards before contact per play just like every play seemed like he was down the field before he even got touched. And I think fans think of the line as good, if not great. But I thought on the right side yesterday, Torrence and Spencer Brown, it was just a total mismatch. And Cook was able to, I mean, you didn't have any negative plays, right? Like he was just able to fall down for 5 yards on a running play. And then he broke the one, which was a great run.
Yep.
And when you can do that, no matter, this was, when you can do that, you'll almost never lose. Unless it goes, it's the same thing on the other sideline. But this was the game. So for all the years of, this goes back, you know, before Josh Allen. For all the years you watch football, and it just becomes more and more obvious that you have to have the elite quarterback to have a chance of winning. This was a game, this was a rare Bills game where I don't think it mattered who the quarterback was for them. Like it was just so easy up front. And the Jets, I mean, Fields threw for 27 yards. That's like one good play. Just nothing was happening on the other side at all.
I think Trubisky threw for more yards.
He did.
On one completion.
He did. 32. Right. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was.
That was one where, like, you know, not that you're hoping for this at all, far from it, but you kind of want to see, like, what happens if the Bills get adversity. And, okay, well, here's Josh Allen running off the field, and that's not what we're used to. And Allen was like, after the game, I probably could have or should have just stayed down to give Trubisky a chance to warm up. But, you know, I'm bleeding, and my instinct is to get to the sideline, get help. And so Trubisky goes right in, and it's like not even an easy throw.
Third and seven, you're right. Again, Sauce Gardner in coverage, and just laid it right out there.
To Palmer.
Yeah.
So a lot of the, I don't know how much I would say there really was. The story after week one was the comeback. But whatever restlessness there was in the air about the defense and the team overall, I mean, it's the Jets, and you can disparage them, but the Bills won so easily. It's like a few years ago when we were debating close games all the time. What are they supposed to do? Do you want them to take bad teams into close games so they can win more of their share of close games?
Be more battle-tested or something? Right.
No, you don't want that. You want them to hammer them.
Right.
That's what the best teams would do.
Yeah.
And that's what happened here.
And they did that without, you know, Ed Oliver and Taron Johnson.
Right.
So it turns out, I mean, those are two of your best defenders. I mean, I don't want to, at least, you know, generally speaking, I don't know, rank them all, but like coming off week one, Oliver was their best defensive player in the win over Baltimore. And Johnson is a very valuable part of that defense. And yeah, they didn't even really miss a beat. The kid stepped in and did a good job. And the Jets just could not, they just couldn't handle them. They just could not do anything up front to get the ground game going. They could not protect Fields. It was, it was almost masterful and boring, kind of.
It was so boring.
It's just, we're better than you. just,
this was close to a non-event, this game. This was not a game we'll remember for anything. Except Allen's bloody nose.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's right. Yeah.
Maybe, but the Jets, I mean, just come on. It's a joke. Well, it's what we probably mostly expected so far in the AFC East. The Bills are minus 1,100 after two games to win the AFC East after being minus 250 before the season. And that made them the biggest favorite in the league for their division. We talked to Sam Panayotovic every Friday, and he always recommend the same bet. Put the Bills winning the AFC East with other things, just other kind of futures bets so you can feel like you might be getting good value from them. And now, minus 1,100, I mean, that's more than quadrupled. Right. And they almost lost the opener, and it's still that. Miami's a no-show. The Jets looked like week one was a fluke. And what New England did was beat Miami. I still think New England is worth considering as, like, maybe good. Maybe the Raiders are good. And they lose a close game to the Raiders. And I don't know. Like, they haven't been an embarrassment or anything so far. But their chances of winning the AFC East are very long. So you've got that. You've got the win over the Ravens. And Baltimore is 1-1. So a game and a half, if you will, back in, you know, the race for seedings. And now Kansas City is 0-2.
And the Bengals are 2-0, but they lost their quarterback.
That's right.
So we'll see. You know, the Browning certainly did well enough yesterday getting that win and had a winning record the last time he had to play extensively, which he obviously will have to be doing now. Burrow, the talk is, right, 3 months at least. So you're talking about Thanksgiving, maybe.
Christmas.
For Burrow to be back. So, yeah, it's going to be a stretch there. And, yeah, the conference looks there for the taking. Which is great news, you know. We're 2 weeks in, and nobody's ahead of them.
I thought I'm you know, wanting to find what's interesting. You know, who might be? Is it going to be just nobody? Teams don't usually waltz to the top seed. Is it going to be like that or what? And I thought Pittsburgh was interesting last week, pushed by the Jets, but you just get you get twice as much information here. And maybe the Jets are that bad, and maybe Pittsburgh is just as bad. They lose to Seattle. Do you want to talk about the Colts at some point? They're the first team in NFL history to not have punted in their first two games, Indianapolis. And they steal that win. But they look like they might be interesting.
Yeah.
Houston is tonight. Jacksonville doesn't. Jacksonville looks – that's depressing, that one. New coach, but
– yeah.
Lawrence, I mean, how do you lose that game if you're Jacksonville without Burrow? You know, in the lead late, how much easier do you want it? Still, they can't figure out how to win that game.
Right. It's like the Bills knocking Rodgers out of that opener last year or 2 years ago and not finding a way to win the game.
How do you lose?
Right.
But at least that's not a team with sort of a track record of it. And this is, you know, this is.
Right.
Jacksonville is waiting for Trevor Lawrence to ascend and for them to like become one of the top teams or like at least the B level. And that didn't happen yesterday. I mean, is this going to be, how bad is this for the Bengals? I mean, it's probably bad. That Burrow gets hurt because they can't protect him. And that's not great for Browning. You know, I mean,
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right.
He might be talented. I don't know. He's had, like you said, he kind of had moments, but if they can't protect him, then so what? What is there here? What is left here? Kansas City, I don't want to call Kansas City dead, but they don't look good, and they didn't look good last year either. And they still won all those games last year, right, but most of them were close, and you know what tends to happen there. And now, what do you know? They have two games. And they're both one-score losses.
Yeah, I mean, we'll after tonight, we'll be 2 weeks in. The Chargers and Raiders play tonight. One of them, you know, assuming we don't get a tie, is going to be 2-0, along with the Bengals and the Colts and the Bills. But, like, that is not who you're expecting at the top, you know. So it's early. Baltimore blowing out Cleveland like they did. Like, they looked very good in week one. They just, you know, fell apart at the end, and the Bills got them. So I still think that looks credible. But I'm not ready to buy Indianapolis at this point.
No.
You know, we'll see as it goes on here. You know, it's possible that the new coach whispers the right things in the quarterback's ear. And, you know, Daniel Jones is, you know, late career, like third stop rejuvenation candidate. I mean, it can happen. You know, see Geno Smith. But I'm not ready to get there yet. So, I mean, everything 2 weeks in is just falling almost perfectly.
I think Houston is one. They're worth watching tonight. That's a pretty good test tonight with Tampa Bay at home. They have a poor offensive performance in week one, 9 points against the Rams, and maybe they'll just be another team that won't be able to figure it out. I don't know. But if they look good, they're still – they'll be – you know, Indianapolis is 2-0. But if Houston has a good night, they'll probably be that division's favorite and – you know, maybe people will start talking them up again. This morning, the Colts had passed them for best odds in the AFC South. Well, there it is. I mean, 30-10, nothing much to say. Like, other than there were concerns about the Bills' defense after week one, and those, I think, mostly went away. I thought this game, I said this a lot yesterday, not only were they superior athletically, and they got the lead, which makes life easier, but it looked like the Jets had nothing the Bills were not expecting. Like, there were, you have a quarterback like that, maybe you can sort of get them running the wrong way like Jackson does, and you can, you know, get going from that. But every time it seemed the Jets, you know, they ran anything, somebody was right there. It was the secondary. Bishop. Bishop is the only Bills player on defense by far to play every snap. Nobody else even played 80% of the snaps for them. I mean, they used backups
right
by the end of this game. But, you know, it reminded me of Sean McDermott talking about Bishop in the preseason, you know, trying to figure out what they've got. You stay out there.
Right.
And he had a couple of moments. And
he did.
He likes to mix it up, that guy. So you had that. You had Trey White, who best sign there is he was healthy enough
right
to go, and you never thought about his being hurt again.
Right, and he made a play that's not a play that he's really known for at all, but like physical at the line of scrimmage on a run play, Benford in the backfield on whatever that was, an end around or a reverse, whatever. Like he's right there to sniff it out, and good thing he was. If you look back at the highlight of that, like they've got a convoy going down the right side, and there's only like a couple of Bills defenders over there. I mean, it didn't have to be a big play, but it almost, unless the Jets screwed it up, the guy stumbles or something, or some Bill, one of the couple Bills over there makes a huge play, it's probably a big game. But Benford sniffed it out and was in the right spot. So, they got plays from those guys. They got plays from depth, you know. Walker and Sanders did not get exposed in this game. They didn't play a ton, but the rotation was more like normal. You know, it was more, you know, the defensive ends, you know, three of them played the most, but the most, I think, was like 55%. If I remember what I looked at earlier today, Rousseau and Epinesa and Bosa were all around that kind of number. So they had to rely on the veterans. Again, the score helps a lot too. You know, you get into this game, into the back end of this game, and you can kind of do whatever you want, which is convenient when you got a game coming 4 days later.
Yes. Well, a little bit of a different football Monday for us. Eric Wood is not available, so we will instead bring you Sean McDermott's Monday press conference whenever that goes, and I think that might be scheduled for 3:30. So if he's on time, we should probably get out of here for now. Then Sal will join us after that. We'll talk about yesterday's win. Football Monday on WGR brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. As we go, you can join us at 803-0550. Thanks for being with us. Head coach Sean McDermott pretty soon here as we continue on Football Monday. Mike Schoppe and the Bulldog, WGR.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.